just want to be with you. Hallelujah. There's no greater desire than wanting more of God in your life, spending time in His presence. I just want to be with you. One of the songs I hear every so often, the songwriter writes in this particular song, he says, we've seen a lot of everything, he says. We've seen a lot of things, but we haven't seen enough of you, my God. I just want to be with you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for who you are, that we can gather this morning to worship you and to praise you, to love you on this very special day of Mother's Day. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for your love that is seen in our mothers. There's no greater love in this natural world than the love of a mother. And I pray this morning, Lord, for every mother viewing, every spiritual mom, every natural mom, for all of us, that this word will touch us this morning. And your love and grace will be seen in our midst, Father. As we celebrate this day, we celebrate you. For there's no greater love than the love that comes through your Son. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I want to welcome all of you on Facebook and YouTube. This is a tremendous day. As I've mentioned, happy, 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 happy Mother's Day to all of you moms. We're so grateful. We love you so much, and we say that sincerely. Is there anything greater than the love of a mother? Really, there isn't. Mother, the glue of our homes, the glue in our churches, and I would say even the glue to our nation. So special is the love of a mother. When I think of my own mother and what she's done for me, it's hard to imagine. But I believe God has put that kind of love in the hearts of mothers for a reason. And I want to wish all of you wonderful mothers, a very happy Mother's Day. I know this is a special day for you. Be with your families. Enjoy this day. Love each other, bless each other. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you, Mom. I know you're not viewing, but thank you, Mom, for being who you are. I'm so grateful. Where would we be today without the love of your mother? Hallelujah. Well, we don't have a traditional Mother's Day message today. Obviously, here I am preaching. I think the last time I preached on Mother's Day, I was... My goodness, I was in my 20s. My, that's a long, long time ago. But not a traditional message, but these are not traditional days. And I may not have someone here preaching on Mother's Day, but I do have a word from the Lord, I believe, with all my heart to share with you today. And my text is found in Mark chapter 6. Verses 43 to 52. Mark chapter 6. We begin at verse number 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments. Notice the word fragments, and of the fishes. And they did eat of the loaves, were about 5,000 men. And straight away Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side. Notice the word other side, before unto Bethesda, while he sent away the 12 of the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when he was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. Notice the word rowing. For the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. And would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them to the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered, now watch this, this text, this verse is extremely important. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I've entitled this message simply, Rowing, Knowing, and Going. Very interesting. Something special, I believe, for all of us this morning. Now we notice, as we begin, something interesting in this text, because Peter's name is not mentioned. All the other gospel writers mention Peter, but we don't see it here. And interesting, because Mark was his associate. Mark was, as some put it, his secretary. Mark would even write down the sermons that Peter preached. He was his companion. Mark was an evangelist who joined Peter. Why wouldn't Mark mention Peter in this text? Well, there's a reason, and we're going to look into that, a reason that is so significant. But we notice here something very important. We see that Jesus instructs them to stay in the boat until you get to the other side. Stay in the boat till you get to the other side, knowing very well that a storm was approaching, knowing very well that a battle was about to take place. He instructs them and tells them to stay put on the boat until you get to the other side. And this becomes our focus this morning. Can I go deeper? There's something about staying in the boat. There's something about a boat. I'm going to be talking about the boat. I'm going to be talking about the battle. And I'm going to be talking about the bread. We're in a boat. There's something about a boat. In Genesis chapter 6, if you remember, God spoke to Noah, told him to build an ark, to build an incredible boat. And you're going to stay on that ark. You're going to stay in that boat, because I'm going to get you through the flood as long as you're in the boat. There's something about a boat. Do you remember Moses? Yes, Moses is just a baby. And his mother puts him in some kind of ark, puts him in a small boat. She puts him there, and he sends him off down the Nile, not knowing where he's going. With all the dangers of the Nile, he's in this boat. The dangers of the crocodiles, the dangers of the Nile perch, all kinds of dangers. But Moses survived. He didn't survive because Moses knew how to swim. He didn't survive because Moses knew how to navigate. As long as baby Moses stayed in the boat, despite how rocky it was, he would make it. There's something about a boat. Jesus told him, stay in this boat till you get to the other side. Do you remember Luke chapter 5? Jesus is beginning his ministry. He meets Peter. He's on the seashore, and he looks to Peter and he says, Peter, can I borrow your boat? I need your boat. The boat becomes Jesus's platform and his pulpit to preach the greatest message. He used Peter's boat. And in our text, Jesus places his disciples upon the boat. He's off to pray. He leaves them with purpose, knowing that a storm is about to come. Life lessons were going to be learned. The disciples had no clue what was going to happen. And he tells them something very important that didn't seem to make sense in the beginning. I want you to stay in this boat till you get to the other side. Stay in the boat. Stay in the boat till you get to the other side, and then I'm going to join you. You see, Jesus knew something that was about to take place. But you see, my friends, the truth is this, and I believe there's a principle here. We're going deeper this morning. The truth is, friends, we are all, watch this now, we are all in the same boat. All of us. All of us are in a boat. All of us are in the same boat. White people, black people, red, yellow, it doesn't matter. Educated, illiterate, big or small, rich or poor. We are all in the same boat destined to the other side. We're all in the same boat, the same boat. And you can be sure that while you're on this boat, you will face some kind of struggle. You'll face some kind of storm. There's always a storm to face. You don't get through this life without facing struggles and storms. And so can I. So calm down and stay put. Trust him when you can't trace him. Why? Because the sun shines upon the just and the rain falls upon the just, and it also falls upon the unjust. The same sun that shines upon the just also shines upon the unjust. So stay put. Be calm. We all face battles. We are all in the same boat. Now, some of you are saying to the Lord, Lord, if you would made me a little differently, I wouldn't have all these problems. If you made me a little differently, I wouldn't face these issues in my life. My friends, yes, you would. Or that's right, yes, you would. You would still have the struggles. Single people say, oh, I'm tired of being single. If I just find a wife, if I just get a husband, all my troubles will cease. I'll be happy. No, you wouldn't. You'll just have someone to argue with. That's another sermon. Married people say, I'm tired of being married. I feel like I'm in a prison. If I can just be single again, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Happiness doesn't come from the outside. Fulfillment doesn't come from the outside. No, you wouldn't. Skinny people! I know a few of them. They say, if I can just put on some weight, I'll be happy. Yeah, if I can just get these protein shakes and I can build my I'll be happy. No, you wouldn't. What about large people? Oh, if I can just lose some weight. Get a membership in the gym. End up getting a membership and you only go 3 times a year. That's another sermon. But if I can just lose weight, I'd be happy. If I can just slim down, I'll be happy. No, you wouldn't. Happiness is not found on the outside. No, my friends, everyone have struggles. Black people have got struggles. White people have got struggles. Asian peoples have got struggles. Native peoples have got struggles. We all have struggles. Everyone. You don't get through this life without struggles, you see. We're all in the same boat. So calm down. Stop trying. Here it is now. Stop trying to get out of the boat. Oh, that's right. Stop trying to get out of the boat as you see the storm approaching. So important. There's no way to get to the other side without a struggle. There's no way to get there. We're all in that boat. There's my first B. But we're also all in a battle. There's my second B. We're all facing battles. There are all storms. When you're in a boat, you can be sure there's going to be a storm mounting somewhere. If Jesus puts you in a boat and you're his disciple, you can be sure that a battle's about to take place. Remember, Jesus knew exactly what was happening. And there was a life lesson to be learned that they didn't know. And as I mentioned before, this is very interesting, my friends. Our text, this text in Mark, is the only text that tells us of this story, but without Peter. There's no mention of Peter walking on water. Why is there no mention of Peter walking on water? This seems strange. Mark doesn't focus on Peter or mentions him at all, his good friend, his companion. Why? See, all my life, I've always looked to Peter and applauded him for getting out of the boat. I applauded him for looking to Jesus and for that second walking on water. The only person that walked on water aside from Jesus. For that second, I applauded what I thought was this tremendous faith for Peter to get out of the boat. Thought that Peter was better than the rest of them. Peter had more faith than the rest of them. I thought that. Something about Peter, and we applauded him, I've applauded him, but it never occurred to me, are you ready, my friends, that he wanted to leave the boat that he was instructed to stay? It never dawned on me that maybe Peter got off the boat for a different reason. And maybe we have too many people asking permission to get off the boat like Peter did, that God has instructed for you and me to stay in that boat. Maybe like Peter, we've asked God to get us off the boat in the midst of a storm, similar to David. When he faced the storm and couldn't take it, he prayed that he would have wings like a dove to fly away and be at rest. But we know that wasn't the case. You see, Peter's name is not mentioned because I believe it's not God's will for you to run from the fight. It's not God's will for you to run from the fight, to run from your battles. You see, it's not that God told Peter to get off the boat. Peter asked to get off the boat. Peter asked to get off the boat. There was no instruction for Peter to get off the boat. Why did Peter want to get off the boat? Do you know, friends, some of you keep jumping off the boat every time a storm comes. I gotta say that again. Like Peter, some of us, we want to get off the boat when it gets a little bit too hot under the collar, when it gets a little bit too hot in the kitchen. You want to jump boat when things don't seem to be working out. It gets a little bit too tough at home. You just want to jump ship. The storm is too rough. And you want to jump ship, always thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. Oh, my friends, the grass is greener on the other side because somebody's watering the grass. Yeah. Your grass will get yellow just as fast as somebody else's across the street if you're not watering the grass. The grass is not greener on the other side unless you do something about it. My God, I've got to ask you, listen, when are you going to grow up, my friend? When are we going to grow up? When are we going to grow up? When are we got to deal with the storms? Stop trying to run from the storms. Running from the storm is a sign of immaturity, a lack of spiritual discipline and understanding. Listen, friends, keep rowing, keep plowing all the way to the other side. Resist the temptation to jump off ship, off the boat. Resist temptation, because that's what happens when you face the battles. And that's why Jesus said, he that endures to the end, that's the one who's blessed. Blessed, keep enduring right to the end, right to the other side. Now I've got to ask people on Facebook, there's somebody out there on YouTube, aren't you tired of running? Is there anybody out there tired of running? Yeah, yeah. Can you say this morning that I'm going to stay put right here, right in this boat? Yeah, yeah. I'm going to keep rowing. I'm going to keep rowing to the other side. That's why I've got my title, Rowing, Knowing, and Going. They were rowing. God told them to stay put. They knew it. They knew where they needed to go. They needed to keep rowing right through the storm to the other side. You see, friends, there's no scripture that applauds Peter for doing that. There's no scripture that applauds you to get off the boat. No, in fact, the opposite. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Keep reaping. Keep going forward. Keep plowing, for in due season you shall reap. Keep plowing. Keep rowing. Look, when Jesus saved Peter from sinking, he only saved him because he got out of the boat. I repeat, he got out of the boat. He got out of the boat. And then Jesus said, O ye of little faith. And I thought Jesus said that of Peter, ye of little faith, because he sank, because he saw the clouds, and he began to sink because of doubt. And I thought that's why Jesus said, O ye of little faith. But could it be, my friends, but could it be, just think about it for a moment, but could it be that he had little faith because he was running from the struggle? Could it be that Peter had little faith because he couldn't face the storm and he thought, the boat's going to sink? How many people jump ship because you think your boat's about to sink, trying to get off the boat? Is there anybody on Facebook who feels that way this morning? Is there a mother out there on Mother's Day who's had a tough time at home with their children, maybe with your husband? You feel like jumping ship. Oh, mom, stay on the boat. Your time hasn't come yet. Stay on the boat. I've got a word for you. Stop running from your struggles. Resist the temptation to jump ship. That's a natural impulse. It's natural to want to jump ship. It's natural when you face a storm to want to run from it. That's a natural a natural propensity that we need to resist. Stop asking, my friend. Stop asking God to get you out of this mess. Stop asking God to get you out of your struggle. I know it seems a little strange. Stop asking God to get you out from what, watch this now, he's put you in. Jesus put him in the boat knowing very well that they're going to face a storm. Oh, I don't know who I'm speaking to. Jesus put him in the boat knowing that they were going to face a storm. Stop asking God to get you out from what he's put you in. Now, can you imagine Joseph? Yes, Joseph, he was thrown into a pit. From the pit, he went to the prison. And from the prison, he went to the palace. But God, well, he knew that he was going to end up in the pit. If it wasn't for the pit, he'd never get to the prison. And if it wasn't for the prison, he'd never get to the palace. Can you imagine if somebody got him out of the pit? Out of what God allowed, he would have never got to the palace. Stop asking God to get you out of what he's put you in. Yes, God. My friends, Too often we say the devil has put you here, and the devil has done this, and the devil has done. Let me tell you something. Do you know how many times in Scripture, I've even preached this, how many, God brought a famine, God brought the enemy, that God brought that storm. Yes, God brought the serpents to afflict Israel, the Numbers 23. God allowing things to take place that you would think it's impossible, but there are times that God puts you in a boat and allows you to go through a storm. There's something that God does that you may not understand. So God has arranged it for a purpose, and many times we want to get out of that arrangement. Many times we just want to get out of that pit, not understanding that God has a purpose to get you to the other side. My God, let me say it again. Can you imagine if some compassionate, loving person saw Joseph in the pit and said to Joseph, "Oh, poor Joseph. Let me get you out of this pit." Would it have been outside of God's will? Many of us want to jump ship prematurely because we think the storm is the worst possible thing that can happen to us. That situation you're in right now, you're saying to yourself, can there be something worse? There can't be anything worse than this. How am I going to go through this? Oh, my friends, moms, stay put. Stay put. Stay put. You see, you need to grab the oars and begin to row and begin to pull. I know the temptation is to abandon ship, but God's calling you to row that ship. You got to get to the other side. There's a storm coming. He knows it. And so don't jump ship. Keep rowing through it. Keep enduring. Keep persevering. Keep plowing. Keep going forward. You got to get to the other side. He sees what you're going through. He wouldn't tell you to get into a boat knowing there's a storm just to make you suffer for the sake of it. Absolutely not. Keep rowing. Keep pulling those oars. See, friends, we need to deal with our struggles because God has instructed these struggles. Yes, in this season in your life, He's instructed these struggles. And so Mark doesn't mention Peter at all because Peter missed the battle. And you know, Peter has made a habit of missing battles. Where was he when Jesus died on the cross? He was busy denying Jesus, running from little girls, running, jumping ship, not even associating himself as a disciple of Jesus Christ, running, jumping ship. He always jumped ship, it seems, always running and hiding, not facing his storm. My God, denial. And he faced the shame of his life when he heard the rooster crow, jumping ship. But Paul, oh Paul, the very antithesis. Paul never jumped ship. He never jumped. Even when he was told you're going to suffer in Jerusalem, he didn't jump ship. He kept going. Even when he was in a storm in Acts 26 on a ship that was being broken by the storm, he still stayed in that battle. There's something about Paul. He said, "I fought the good fight. I didn't give up. I endured hardships. Oh, I may have been tempted to jump ship, but I knew I had to persevere." Oh, my friends, have you fought hard enough? Paul said, "I fought the good fight." Have you resisted enough? Have you persevered enough? Or you just give up too easily? Many people have given up too easily, and they've missed their blessing. They were on the verge, but they jumped ship before they got to the other side because it got a little too hot under your collar. Well, friends, just take your tie off then. Just take it off. Just take it off. Here you go. Take off your tie. Okay, loosen your button. It doesn't matter. Don't jump ship. There goes my tie. Here, I'm trying to make a note. Oh, there, look at this. Look what's happening here. Josh, can you help me out? Can you believe what just happened? That's a good thing when you're live. Why did I have to take off my tie? Can you believe that I took off my tie? Folks, just stay with us. These are the tragedies that take place when you are live. Can you imagine that? Here we go. Now, some of you are laughing. This is what we do. Okay, Josh, there we go. Okay, yes. See, I almost jumped ship, but I didn't. Josh, you better finish up because I'm going to jump the ship. If you okay, there we go. All right. Okay, you finished laughing right now? Can we calm down? Do I have your attention again? Okay, my wife's lost it over here, but here we are. You know, Paul was the very opposite of Peter. And we see this in his life. We see this in his teachings. And Paul resisted that tendency and that propensity to do that. In Philippians chapter 4, the 12th verse, I think, George, you got that for me. Paul says, listen what he says. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am. Watch this now. I'm instructed. Did you see that? Both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to be abased. I'm instructed. What is Paul saying? I know how to be abased. I know how to abound in all things. I am instructed. I am told by the Lord. There's a reason. Listen. We love to teach that part of abounding, don't we? We love to teach how we are blessed all the time and how we are even to prosper. We love that part. We do that well. But listen, I'm also instructed, Paul says, to suffer, to be in need, to be in loneliness at times, to be frustrated, to be in a battle, to be in a storm. Yes, the same God that ordains blessing is the same God that instructs us to suffer. That's why Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord who gives and takes away. And because we don't teach this, we have a church in shock. Because we don't teach this, we are shocked and we are dismayed and we are overwhelmed, awestruck. Because you've been taught, if you get saved, everything's just going to be fine. And then if you're sick or if there's something wrong, you'll never be in pain again. Yeah. You'll have everything you want. You won't get sick. And if you get sick, then it's not God. There's something wrong with you. My God, you'll be happily married if you come to Christ. All your kids will graduate and your house will always be in order. That's what we've been taught. Just come to Christ and you won't struggle. You won't be in pain. You'll never have marital problems. And you most definitely will never get sick. Oh, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but we've been taught that. Everything will fall into place and the pain will be gone. Just take two aspirins and go to sleep. But, my friends, now that all hell is breaking loose, you're shocked. You're shocked. Paul said, I was instructed both to be full and I'm instructed to be hungry. Full and to be hungry. I'm instructed. This is an instruction of the Lord. To be full to be empty, to be hungry. Do you see that, friends? Oh, my brothers and sisters, I want to talk to hungry people this morning. Are there any hungry people this morning? Or is there anybody in a storm right now as I speak? I want to talk to somebody on Facebook who's hungry. A mother who's hungry. Is there a mother out there who's hurting? You see, sometimes God will order hunger. God will order that famine. He'll order that storm. That's right. Yes, God will put you in a situation that hurts. Can I say that again? I know it's tough, but God will put you in a situation that hurts. Sometimes God strips us of things. Yeah, it hurts when he's stripping us of some things. But if he doesn't strip us of those things, we'll never get to our destiny. We may not see it right now, but that's it. And you see, he'll leave you in that struggle. There are times that God will just leave you in that pit for the right time until the Ishmaelites come and bring you to the prison. That's right. Everything's about the timing of the Lord, but he'll leave you in that pit for a reason. He won't abandon you, but he'll leave you there, just like he told his disciples. Stay in the boat till you get to the other side. Jesus is on the mountain praying. He knew exactly what was going on. Paul said, I have learned. You see, I went through life and I experienced this. To abound and yet to suffer need. Listen, my friends, it doesn't matter who it is. Everyone in some area in life is in need. I want to say that again. I don't care who you are, how great, you will be in need. You will. There will be a storm that will come into your life that will tempt you to jump off and out of that boat. Yes, my friends. Paul said, I have learned whatever state I am in. I have learned. Learning means a process of time, an experience that I had. I have learned whatever state, whether I'm, what state, whatever situation I'm in, to be content. I've learned it. I've learned to stay put, that God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way, that God was going to work it out. Listen, friends. It's not that he wasn't able to endure it. No. He's content despite the storm. He has learned this. He has learned this by experience. Yes, he enjoyed his own company. Can I say that again? He enjoyed his own company. He has learned to celebrate in the face of trials. He has learned to celebrate in the face of trials. That's why in Acts 16, he's thrown into jail. He's in prison. The chains are tighter. The shackles are so tight, he's bleeding. It's midnight. His death is imminent. He was going to be beheaded. Death is imminent. What does he do? He begins to praise the Lord in the midst of his storm. How did he learn to do it? Can you imagine that? Can you praise God when you know that you might die because of your conviction, and yet you're praising God? Are you able to praise God when the shackles are so tight and you don't see a way out and a storm is raging? You're in that boat and that boat is small and you don't see any hope. When the Bible speaks of a storm here in this context, let me tell you something. The Bible speaks of a great storm. It was a great, great storm. And you can see the hopelessness of the disciples. Sometimes life has great storms, black, ominous clouds, and you don't feel or believe there's any hope, and you're tempted to jump. Paul says, I've learned to be content. Now, contentment doesn't mean apathy or indifference. It means to make peace with the process. To make peace with the process. That if you can't change your problem, you must change your perspective. How you see your storm will determine your destiny. peace with the process. Life lesson: if you can't change your problem, can't change the storm is your, then you must change the way you see it, the perspective. Resist the temptation to jump that God has allowed. Make peace with the process. This is what contentment is: to be at peace with the program that God has designed. If you can't trace him, learn to trust him. There are many times I can't trace God. There are many times I can't even see his hand in things. But by faith, I see something. By faith, I see something that my natural eyes do not see. So I have learned over the years to trust him when I can't trace him. I have learned over the years to make peace with the program that God has allowed me to be in, to make peace with the ship and the boat that I am in while I face the storm. Otherwise, I will be frustrated to no end. You will be frustrated. Frustration will hinder your purpose. I repeat, frustration will hinder your purpose. And some of you have aspiration, but you're canceling it out by your frustration. Frustration is the enemy of aspiration. Frustration is the enemy of spiritual growth. We must avoid the temptation to be defined by our current status, defined by what is happening around me. Remember, I mentioned earlier, skinny people want to be fatter. Fatter people or larger people want to be skinny. Oh my God, whether it's positive or whether it's negative, it doesn't define who I am. It doesn't define who I am. If I'm in a storm, if I'm sick, oh yeah, yeah, you're sick because you got sin in your life. That doesn't define who I am. I will not be defined with what is going around me. Storms are not good or bad. I will do what Jeremiah says in the 42nd chapter, verse 6. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the Lord. We will trust the Lord. Storms don't define me. Circumstances don't define me. It's what is in me that defines me, not what is outside of me. Not is what is on the outside. I've got to stop thinking that changing my circumstances will change my reality. Changing my circumstances will make me a better person. In some ways, it might on the short term, but it's much deeper than that. I can't be happy if I lose 10 pounds. I can't be happy because of things that happen on the outside. It's not the outside that changes me. Oh, it might superficially, but it's not the reality that God is looking for. It's much deeper than that. It's not about my circumstances. Getting off my ship and getting off my boat will relieve me, bring peace to my life. That getting out and running from my situation will finally bring the results that I've been wanting. That the grass is greener on the other side, so let me get to the other side because I know the grass is greener. No, my friends, it's not about that. Because once you get to that green grass, there's something that you still need to do. That if I would marry this particular man, I'll be happy forever. This is the kind of woman I want. She's got to be 5'4". She's got to have blonde hair and blue eyes. And she's got to have a body like a Barbie doll. This is going to bring happiness in my life. Wrong. Because that Barbie doll can gain a lot of weight very soon. And that beautiful face, after a few years, happiness is never defined by what happens on the outside. I am what I am, whether I am married or single. Can I say that again? I am what I am, whether I am married or whether I am single. I am who I am, whether I live in a shack or in a palace. Paul says, I am who I am. As listen, my situation is not defined by my circumstances. Who I am is not defined by my circumstances. Who I am is not defined by my circumstances. And so we see them in a boat in the midst of a storm, my first B. And then we see a battle that Jesus was aware of. When you're on a boat, you will face a battle. And now I want to give you my last B. We come to the bread. We come from the boat, from the battle, to the bread. What is it about this bread? Oh, there's a great life lesson about the bread. The bread. Now, friends, listen to me. I never understood this before. This was a complete revelation a few years ago. I preached on another text concerning the bread. See, Jesus told them to gather up the fragments. We just read that in verse 43. But we don't hear that the disciples ever use those fragments. We don't see them ever eating those fragments. We only hear that the fragments were in the boat, the extra bread that they had. And it is Mark that helps us to understand why, of all people, Mark, Peter's close associate. The fragments were on the boat. Now here it is. Are you ready for this? The fragments were on the boat to remind them of what God had done before in their lives. This story about the boat comes after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. That is very significant. You see, bring me to verse 52, George. Here's why I'm saying this. And this is the key to this text. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. They forgot what God had done for them just a few days earlier. How many times do we forget what God does in our lives, especially when we are in a storm? And so we forget, and what is our tendency? Let me jump ship. We forget that what he did yesterday, he can still do today. And so Jesus said, take the fragments, because there's a life lesson I want to teach you with those fragments. Their hearts became hardened. Oh, my friends, like little children. You ever see children? You do what you can for a child. They're happy for that moment. And next week, they want something else. And then the week after, they want something. They never seem to be happy. They always seem to forget what you did for them. And so it's about, what have you done for me lately? They forgot. They forgot because of the hardness of their hearts. The loaves were there to remind them of what God had done in the past. Just like in Joshua chapter 4, I keep using this, what a powerful text. God told Joshua didn't understand the meaning of God telling him to build an altar. And God says, I want you to build this altar as a memorial of what I have done in your life. And when your children ask you questions, you tell them how I delivered you. You tell them how I sustained you. You see, God is very big on that. He doesn't want you to forget. Do this in remembrance of me, what I've done in the past. Jesus said, take the scraps with you. Take the scraps. They didn't understand why to take the scraps. Why would I take scraps? Well, who wants scraps? Who's going to eat stale bread? Bread gets stale very quick. Why would Jesus want me to take those scraps so I can eat them? Does he want me to eat stale bread? Even a filet mignon tastes terrible with stale bread. Stale bread. Scraps. Scraps. They're not very inspired. Appetizing scraps. Nothing appetizing about stale bread. It's not fresh. If it's fresh bread, oh, that's appetizing. But stale bread? Stale bread? Stale bread's not appetizing. Old bread Old fish. Old fish stinks. Can't have me want to eat old fish and old bread. It doesn't. You see, my friends, God left them this bread so they can remember what he brought them through. We see this very clearly. You see, God knew that they were going to go through the storm, as I mentioned. They knew it. And God is saying, I want to leave you some evidence that you need to understand that as I've provided for you before, I want you to look at the stale bread and I want you to remember what I did just a few days ago. I can do this for you right now. Jesus knew a storm was coming. He arranged the storm. He ordained it, because when he came back, the storm ceased. Everything, that storm was ordained by God, and how you respond in that storm makes all the difference in the world. And the life lesson was this. He knew they would forget. The Bible says the hardness of their hearts, and he left them that bread to remind them, why don't you believe that I can do it again? Are you that hardened of heart? Are you that stiff-necked? It's a life lesson that I am Jehovah Shammah. I will not abandon you. I will not forsake you. Yes, I've always been there, that every time you were in trouble, I was there. I brought you out of it. When thou goest through the fire, Isaiah 43, I won't allow you to be burnt. When you're in the flood, I won't allow you to drown. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, though there's a storm, an earthquake, I'm right there. Look at the stale bread. Look at your bread. Look at, oh friends, everyone who's watching me, if you've ever been in trouble and God has brought you through it, can you praise him this morning? Can you shout amen this morning? If you've been sick and you've been in pain and God has brought you through it, can you give him a hallelujah? Can you raise a hallelujah? If you've been bankrupt and discouraged and you've been in need and God has provided for you, can you shout amen this morning? If you've been in some kind of calamity and God has brought you through it, can you shout amen this morning? Can you give him praise? Oh, that man will praise him, David said. Life lesson, life lesson, life lesson. Listen, wherever you go, whatever you do, don't forget your scraps. Don't forget the scraps. The stale bread. It's stale. Scraps. Look at your scraps and remember what God has done. Carry the scraps with you. Take them with you as a testimony, as a memorial of how God has sustained you before, and he'll sustain you again. If he did it then, he'll do it now. Yes, if he brought me through it then, he'll do it now. Oh, he may not come when I want him to come. That's right, but I've got the evidence. I've got the evidence. I've got the scraps. I've got the evidence. I've got the scraps. I've got the evidence. I've got the scraps. He's Shammah. He's done it before. He's going to do it again. I've got the scraps. Do you got your scraps? Or has your heart become hardened that you forgot? Oh, my friends, some of you didn't even know how God sustained you when you were in that hospital bed, almost died, but God sustained. You had that accident, you were in a ditch, but God sustained you. Some of you weren't even saved when God was working in your life and you didn't even know it. My God protected you. I remember, my God, I remember. I I got to pick up a scrap. I remember I was preaching at Christian Center a few years ago. I was preaching. All of a sudden, this man from the side of the church, I didn't know what was going on. He's just a strange thing. He's walking and he comes right up from the platform. He comes, makes a beeline towards me. He's got something. He takes his right hand and he puts it inside his pocket. And I thought for sure he's getting a gun or a knife and that I was going to kill me or something. And I just didn't know what was going on. I remember I got a scrap, and all of a sudden he just as he approached me, I just said something, and all of a sudden, like a calmness came, his whole demeanor stopped. It's like he changed. Something just happened, and then we just had him sit down, like something took place. I believe that God protected me. I believe God sustained me. I've got a scrap. I've got the evidence. Let the redeemed say so. Stop closing your mouth. Open your mouth and say something. There's no secret agent with God. Let the redeemed say so. How God has sustained you. How God made a way for you. Stop closing your mouth and give God the glory. I don't expect unbelievers to give God the glory, but I don't understand when Christians can't speak it out. I don't understand when Christians can't say it so. I don't understand it I don't want to be too embarrassed. I don't understand that when we can't pray in a restaurant. I don't understand when we can't praise Him. I don't understand it. Oh, let the redeemed say so. To the believer, God has left you some evidence. Is there anybody out there with some evidence? Let the redeemed say so that God is able. He's always made a way. He's not abandoned me. Yes, it's in the boat. Yes, it's in the battle. And yes, it's in the bread. My da-da bread, look at your scraps. I got to look at my scrap one more time because I remember what God has done. I got to look at my scraps when I'm facing the storm because the devil wants me to forget. My heart wants me to forget. My heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17. I've got the evidence. I got to look at the scraps and remember how he's sustain me, how he fed the 5,000 when I was hungry, how he healed the blind man when he wasn't able, when he cried out, how he raised the dead. I gotta remember what he did, how he didn't abandon me in that midst, in that torment, when the enemy came in a flood, how he sustained me. The scraps. And now, my friends, you are in a season of struggle. And what? You want to give up? You want to give up? Take your scraps! Resist the temptation to jump off ship. My God. Because of a storm. I'm going to say what I said earlier. We are all in the same boat, my friend. Hebrews 12:12. So lift up your hands that have dropped because of your storm. Lift them up and begin to praise Him. Lift them up, my friends. The storm will pass because Jesus is waiting for you on the other side. Hallelujah. I got to close. Some of you know that I was sick. I was very sick. I've never been like this before in my life. Couldn't breathe. Couldn't sleep for days. Felt so weak, so anemic. Couldn't eat. Couldn't function. I'm not a person that goes to the hospital. I visit, but I do not like hospital. I resisted to go. I was in a state of confusion internally as well. I didn't understand. Finally, ended up in the hospital. I was in the emergency ward, so filled with noise and a cacophony of sounds. And I, where am I? felt alone, abandoned. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't go to the bathroom. They gave me a... couldn't move. Couldn't breathe. They brought oxygen so I can breathe. But what was worse is what was going inside of my heart at that moment. I didn't understand. Then they moved me to another room and just felt so alone. But I took my scraps. I took the scraps. And I remembered how God rescued me when I lost control and went into a ditch. Almost died in that ditch, but God somehow sustained me. And out of nowhere, somebody comes and pulls me out of this ditch. I remember when I was on the way to Bible college and my car seized because I had no oil. And I felt alone in the road at night. Had a curfew. And all of a sudden, here comes this person, brings me to her brother, who was a mechanic, fixed my car and brought me. And I was able to get to my destination in time. I began to look at my scraps, how God heard my cry over and over again. And faith started to rise up within me. And I lifted up my hands in the hospital bed. And I began to worship God, even while I couldn't breathe, praising Him and giving Him glory. I couldn't forget the scraps. Shortly after that, I was released from the hospital. Holding on to my scraps. Do you have any scraps out there? Look at your scraps, my friends. Don't forget. He is the same God yesterday, today, forever. He has not abandoned you. Mothers who feel alone, hurting your children, maybe even your husband. You feel alone. Take your scrap on Mother's Day. Because Jesus is going to meet you on the other side. And He's going to do something powerful. Hold on! Stay in the boat! And look at your scraps. He's going to get you there.
Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my again. Oh, promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed.
Captivity again. Again. May not be when we want it to happen, but it will happen. We will get to the other side. But there's storms. Don't let the storm hinder you from getting to the other side. I want to pray for every mother, especially, and all those that are viewing this broadcast. For those especially who have this urge to abandon ship, I want to pray for you today on Mother's Day. Maybe some of you are hurting because you can't see your mother. Maybe you've had a storm with your own mother. Maybe you've had problems with your mom. And you want to abandon that ship. Or maybe you've already abandoned it. You haven't even spoken to her. And I just feel like I sense that there's people out there who haven't even talked to their mothers for a long, long time. And you weren't even thinking of even speaking to them today. Now again, I'm just saying this because I sense to say it in the spirit. You want to be free? Pick up the phone and call your mom. I know you said you'd never connect with her again, but do it. Call her up. It's going to change your life. Don't let the storm of the past hinder your future. Because it's caused nothing but frustration in your own life. Make it right. Love your mother. There's no greater person in this world and no greater relationship in this world than a relationship between mother and daughter, mother and son. There's nothing more powerful than the love of a mother. And if you've lost that, it needs to be restored. It really does. Again, I'm just speaking as I sense the Lord giving me the words to say. So I want to pray for you today. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, for those that have had difficult relationships with their mothers. Whatever storm has come to hinder them, I pray that today, Lord, a miracle would take place. Father, we look at the scraps and we remember how you've helped us before. And most assuredly, you can help us now. I pray for every broken relationship between mother and daughter or son. Anyone listening to me at this time that has one, Father, I pray for divine restoration right now. I know, Lord, people didn't expect me to preach today. But Lord, your ways are greater than our ways. I didn't preach a traditional Mother's Day message, but Lord, maybe you have a word for some mother, a son, a daughter. Help us, Lord, to pick up the scraps this morning. Those that are hurting, for whatever reason today, have a desire to abandon ship. Father, give us the presence of mind. Give us the strength to continue to row, to persevere. I pray for everyone out there. Strengthen them, Father. Strengthen their arms that hang low to pick up the oars and begin to row again. In the name of Jesus Christ, be glorified, I pray. Amen. We love you. We really do. We give God the praise for his goodness. Take the evidence of your scraps and don't ever forget what God has done for you. God bless. We love you. We'll see you again very soon.